10 minutes after 4 o'clock. Take a look at the label on your sweater or your sneakers. Chances are they're made in China. Asia's economic powerhouse now exports 4 times as much to Canada as we do to them. And facts like that are coming under the microscope today as Prime Minister Jiang Kai-shek meets with Chinese leaders in Beijing. But with every other country looking for a piece of the world's largest market, how does Canada make inroads? Charles Burton is a professor specializing in China at Brock University. He's also a former economic and political advisor at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing, and he joins us on the line from St. Catharines, Ontario. Professor Burton, good afternoon.
Hi.
So, Professor Burton, China makes and sells to us a lot of stuff. What can we offer them in terms of trade?
Well, there are a lot of things that Canada has a competitive advantage in over other countries. For example, we're very strong in financial services and insurance services, and at the same time as the Prime Minister's visit, the Manulife and the Sun Life insurance companies are expecting to get licenses to open up to sell insurance in the Beijing area, and so that's something that's pretty important for our trade. And then there are other areas in which we're very strong, like transportation equipment, subway cars, agricultural commodities like lumber, wheat, potash, pulp and paper, and some specialized things like mining equipment, that sort of thing. So, you know, there are things that Canada has to offer the Chinese to try and redress that trade imbalance.
But in the area of financial services or insurance or consulting, we certainly would be competing with the Americans to get in on that level, wouldn't we?
Yes, I mean, we're competing with everybody, and another problem is that the Chinese put up significant barriers to foreign participation in the market for those services, and the reason they do that is that their own industries are relatively weak, and I think they're afraid that if they opened up completely, their domestic industries would be swamped and wouldn't be able to carry on, so they wouldn't have domestic Chinese insurance companies, for example. And so we've been pressing to get more access into that market. You know, the Manulife and Sun Life are only able to sell insurance in a limited area in China, not throughout the whole country, and there are other insurance companies that are selling down in Shanghai, for example. So this is something that we have to keep working on with them.
What about our more traditional exports, such as commodities? Is there a market there in China?
Well, there's certainly a market for a lot of Canadian raw materials, and we're able to do some high-tech, you know, like telecommunications equipment. But, you know, as you point out, you go into Zellers or Walmart, and most of the stuff is made in China, and a lot of the things that we're buying from China were things that were previously manufactured inside Canada itself.
Well, but are we competing? I mean, obviously, this is a huge market. Some people say that it's going to be the largest economy in the world, probably within our lifetimes. Who are we competing with besides the United States to get a piece of it?
Well, I mean, in telecommunications, for example, we're competing against the Germans, the Belgians, the Japanese, the Koreans.
Everybody.
Everybody, and domestic Chinese concerns. So everybody's trying to get a piece of it. You know, it's a country that's the largest market in the world, with 24% of all the people living on the planet are living inside mainland China. And also, it's a changing market, because with the Chinese economic rise, there are a lot more property-owning people that we would define as middle class. Those may be as many as 200 million out of the 1.4 billion people living in China. And they, you know, they have money, and they're a target for us to try and sell services and commodities too. So it's a very exciting area. I think a problem has been that Canadian firms, when they think about expanding their operations abroad, are more inclined to think the United States or maybe other countries that seem a bit more familiar and have been reluctant to take the plunge into China. So we're lacking what you might call corporate courage.
Okay. And is there anything that can be done about that at the federal level?
Well, I think that our government tries its best to encourage Canadian companies to think about that market, and maybe we should be doing more in facilitating access to the market by providing more services to companies to make it easier for them to make the plunge. Up to now, the resources available in our foreign service are very limited, and so they're not able to do as much as one might hope to try and encourage companies to think about going to China and selling Canadian products, which will result in more Canadian jobs and more prosperity in Canada.
China's obviously a communist country, many restrictions on trade, a country that is sometimes blamed for the jobless recovery in the United States. Why does it have such a robust relationship with the United States when it comes to trade right now?
Well, I think that the communist country part is an interesting thing to bring up, because they do lack the rule of law, and you do get cases where Canadian companies operating, particularly in outside of the major Chinese centers, are subject to arbitrary interference by local officials mm-hmm. who might just close them down if they don't like the idea of Chinese money being repatriated to Canada's profits, or who demand bribes to have you continue in the market. Mm-hmm. But China's entry into the World Trade Organization should do a lot to resolve these kinds of issues that make China a less attractive place to go than some. And so it should make it a fairer playing field, and we should have more recourse through law when we feel that we're not being treated fairly in China. So I think the general trend is towards the China market becoming easier for Canadians to work in, particularly in the large coastal cities where, as I say, there's a lot of people that one could define as middle class.
What about the fact that Canada has many immigrants who speak Chinese languages? Is that going to be an advantage to us in any way in getting into the market?
No, it's a huge advantage for us. The Chinese Canadian community are very much involved in this, and if you have Canadians with Mandarin language skills, then they're able to effectively represent Canadian firms in one-on-one negotiations without having to worry about interpreters. And also they have those cultural skills and knowledge of the Chinese markets, because it's not really just one integrated market, but you have to look at it as several markets of different characteristics. And so the recent increase in immigration of skilled technical people from China to Canada is a big boon to the Canadian economy now, and I think it'll particularly be something good for us in the long term.
In the 90s, there were big problems with the currency market, not just in China, but in other Asian countries as well. Is that stable now, to the point where people can be confident going into the market?
Well, China was not as affected by the Asian crisis as other countries, like the Southeast Asian countries such as Thailand. I think that we can be pretty confident that China's currency is not going to go suddenly all awry on us in the middle of transactions. And a lot of these international trade deals are denominated in foreign currencies like U.S. dollars, which reduces the risk of investing there.
Do you believe, Professor, that the Chinese economy will be the most robust in the world in your lifetime?
I think so. You just have to do the math. 24% of the world's population in China, even if they only increase a little bit, it amounts to a lot overall, and the speculation is that China will exceed the United States as the dominant economy of the world by 2025, and I think it looks pretty likely that that'll be the case. And this will also mean that there'll be changes in the power structure of the world altogether. We won't be a world dominated by one superpower, but there'll be another power which will offer a certain amount of balance to the United States in global affairs, and I think arguably that could be quite a positive development.
It could be, and it could also be quite a scary development. It remains to be seen, but it's fascinating. Professor
Britton, let's keep positive.
Positive, absolutely. Thank you for talking to us today.
Nice to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Charles Britton is a former advisor in economic and political affairs at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. He also specializes in China at Brock University, and we reached him today in St. Catharines, Ontario.